I have to call Jesus out. Jesus, calm the storm outside. Yeah. So glad that we all are here this morning and being excited of what God's going to speak to us. The last song, you know, it does set the tone for what we are going to hear this morning. And I believe that God will speak to us, each one of us personally as well. We have been doing a series on our values, what we as a church do believe. And, you know, last week, what did we see? Anything? You remember one of our values which we saw last Sunday? Character. So we said that, you know, RHC or Renewed Hope Community values character more than charisma. Character can be developed. If you have, you know, charisma is required, but character is the topmost priority where God's sanctification do happen. That's the process of character building in our life. And today we are going to talk about leadership. Okay, so the word which God gave for all of us this morning is, let's rise up. Okay, let's rise up. So can we do it? Let's rise up. You may be seated. Yes. So not only our physical uplifting, I believe God's to us in our spiritual uplifting as well this morning. Whenever we use leadership, you know, we always tend to, you know, kind of frame it or assign some people saying that, oh, he is a leader. And we also many times do use this term, minister leader, this leader, that leader, you know, leader of external affairs. So we do use this term leaders. And basically, we talk about position. Whenever we talk about leadership, we talk about position. Some post, some position, some well-known guy, some skill, and all that. But as a church, what do we believe in this? Okay, this is a website. You can go through and check basically what leadership content or what do we believe in on leadership. I'll just read this for us. We seek to equip the congregation to take leadership, ownership, and be involved within their church and their community. We believe that leadership is both a gift and a skill. We define and equip leaders to serve those around us. Okay, so what as a church we believe in is to equip the congregation, that is we all, to take leadership and ownership positions and also use that not only in the church but also outside this community. So this has been put a year back, this content. And if you remember the slides, like, you know, one of our RHC ministry slides, we said one is community and one is missional. One is church, inside the church, and one is outside. And God's been stirring this morning to all of us. Rise up, wake up. It's time for you to take up the position. It's time for you to take up the position. Tell your neighbors, it's time for you. Rise up. It's time for you to take up your position. Yes. Okay. We'll read this from the scriptures. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. What does it say to all of us this morning is, leadership doesn't require a position or a title. We all have been called as a workmanship. Tell your neighbor that I am a worker of God. Yes, amen. So we all being called as God's worker. It's not only entitled people or titled people can work in the church and outside. Whether we like it or not, whether we feel that or not, or whether we feel called or not, we all been called for God's work. Sometimes we feel that we are not equipped, we are not transformed, we are waiting for 100% purification. But we like it or not, God's calling us this morning that you have been called to be God's worker. You have been called to be God's worker. And we have to allow God to work this morning in our lives so that God can work in our lives this morning, and we can explore our gifts and develop the skills which God has placed in us or given us specially. So when you hear this word, we always do take ten that, okay, this is not for me, it is for the pastor's role. It is some leader who is there. They will do it. But this morning God is saying, it is not them. I'm talking about you. So God can use people with or without the natural ability or a proper background. God can use people with or without ability, that is natural skill set, ability, or a proper background. To being called to be a worker of God, we don't need to hold a position or title for us to work. We don't have to be, you know, someone gives me a task, then I will do it. Even that is not true. Even when we feel right, like we should have the skill set, then only I can do it. I'm not good at talking. I'm not good at singing. I'm not good at interacting. I'm not good at children. But this morning, God is saying, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do His work. And God will use His people with ability or without ability. Natural gift or no gift or no proper background. God will use us. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27, it talks about this. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Amen? Yes. So if we have natural gift, natural ability, skill set, charisma, or no charisma, by default we have been called as God's worker. You know, and it's all biblical which we are talking about. Look at the disciples. They planted the first church. No proper background, no proper teaching, no understanding. You know, when Jesus was teaching, they were not able to understand things. There is no proper faith. They did not even have faith to follow Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, they all ran away. Peter was walking on water. He fell down. Thomas said, I don't believe in you. Without or with natural ability or tendency of faith, God's been calling you and me this morning that you are a worker for me. And we know that we don't have to be highly educated, influential, hold some degrees, family background, language. No. Wherever God calls us, we should know that we are all workmen of God. You know, Jesus told this to his disciples. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Their occupation of catching fish changed into a mission of fishing people. You know, each step along the way, Jesus taught them to share with others, connect people to God, and minister to those who were in need. And this morning, God is challenging you and me, come follow me, and I'll make you something new. This morning, God is challenging each one of us, come follow me, I'll make you something new. So what is actually the newness which God is talking to us this morning? So when we know God, we all believe that we know God. Yes, bits and pieces, not to be have influential, not that we have to read the entire scriptures, not that we have to understand the entire concept. God will reveal. The maturity in Christ will bring these three things in our life. That's a promise for us. We move from self-centered to other-centered. That means our focus from our family, ourselves, it will move from there to outside or someone else. We become God-centered in motivation. First is not self-centered others, then I my motivation is God-centered and my desire to serve and lead. As a church, we believe in leadership. And God is saying, rise up, move from self-centered to other-centered. Become God-centered and have a desire to serve and lead. And so for this, we don't need anyone to call us or use the word leader. It is God's desire for all of us to serve and to lead and have this motivation, godly motivation. If you have your Bibles, let's turn from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. The book of John, chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. Read this quickly. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he's going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a year, half a year's wages, to buy enough bread for each one of to have a bite." Another of disciples, that is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far they will go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place." And they sat down. The Bible says it was about 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So from this miracle, you know, what do you think? What did happen? Like, what do you understand? Where, you know, there is a need, there are a lot of people coming. Jesus puts a question forward to his disciples, saying that, what should we do now? Jesus creates an opportunity for his disciples to serve. Here, Jesus just asks a simple question. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Where shall we buy bread for people to eat? So the question is like this. This vada pav, from which hotel should I buy and from where I will get? Which hotel I will go and where I'll get this bread? It's a very practical question. And one looks at the crowd, that is Philip. He looks at the account balance, their ministry account balance. And he responds in that way. He says, it would take more than a half a year of wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. What was Jesus' question? From where we will get this bread? From where should we go? Philip answers, saying that impossible. He creates an opportunity for others to serve, his disciples to think. And the Bible says he knew what he's going to do. He knew the outcome. He knew that he's only doing this to test him, to teach him, to train them. So it was a very practical thing where Jesus said, I know in my mind what is there. One comes with an account balance. The other comes. So So this question was put forward to the entire disciples, and one's ministry or one's, you know, leading or serving, he goes inside the crowd. So who goes inside the crowd? Andrew. He goes inside, and what does he do? Bring bread. Did Jesus say, bring bread from them? Jesus said, from where? How can we do this? One looked at his account, one looked at beyond that. Are they still wondering what should we do? There are two guys already in mission field. One brings someone and says, this boy has this. He finds a boy and he says, this boy has this many quantity. And then we know Jesus prays and he multiplies. And few of them's responsibility was to make them sit. Make them sit. Gather them. Gather them. Make them sit. 5,000 great people, great multitude. You know, last Thursday we were discussing. One question was raised in our men's ministry. So we were discussing about this. How is it possible to Jesus to cater to 5,000 people? Where there is no loudspeakers, there are no mics, there are, you know, we at least have this powerful sound system. There, how can we? How can they? So they're large communities which they were placed. A small community which was placed, which was information transit. It goes from one person to another person. So Jesus was teaching their disciples practical, hands-on experience about what need to be done, how it need to be done. You know, practicality, comfortable, you know, make people comfortable before we serve. Make them sit. So where in plain, you know, like my question or God's question this morning, this to all of us is, so in what places you see yourself an opportunity to serve and make a difference? Opportunity to serve. He said, can't. Yes, that's also correct. Because he's looking at opportunity to serve. He did not say that we can't do. He said, where should we buy? Because it needs a lot of money. Andrew looked at an opportunity to go among people and search for the food. You know, let's see. 5,000 we have or not for this many people. So in what places you see yourself an opportunity to serve and make a difference? Andrew made a difference. Definitely Philip also made a difference. And other disciples also made a difference. So when we personally serve in a ministry, we can always, you know, Jesus intentionally took, you know, I was just thinking about it. Jesus can do all these miracles by himself. He already knew. He did not need 12 people, but he took all of them along. More than 12. The disciples, the followers, they all came with him. So, in our ministry or where God is calling, it's always good to take alongside someone else to train them. So that, you know, we equip them. So Jesus equipped them because he knew that he's not be there with them for the entire time. And once they were equipped, Jesus said, go and make disciples. So we need to find a spot or find a place. You are all workers of God. I'm not saying the scripture talks about it. If we are not able to find a place to serve inside the church or outside the community, that's the reason. If you look at our next Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, it is about mental health. You know, there's already, you know, numbers are given from police stations that we will send this many staff for your workshop. There are already been, you know, we've already been spreading it out to schools and colleges. Find a spot God has placed us as a church here, which has resources, which has people to to serve. There are people like Philip. There are people like Andrew. There are people who will go and search and cater. There are people who will distribute. Where are you placed this morning? Are you see yourself an opportunist? A person who looks at opportunity and sees, okay, Andrew was not the one. Andrew took that opportunity to serve. You know, we need to find a place, find an opportunity where God is calling us to serve and lead. If you're going, for instance, if you're going to visit someone who is in the hospital, or you have planned to go and search someone, talk to someone, find an opportunity. God has given a lot of opportunities for us. And it makes an impression. Ministry doesn't happen inside this four corners. Ministry also happens outside this building, outside this place. So we all are God's workmanship. And this morning, God is pointing to you these questions. Yeah, we have been called by Jesus. So we all are God's workmanship. So what did Jesus do, which we are going to look, and how does it apply to me this morning? How was Jesus' way of serving and teaching his people, that is disciples and followers, to serve? The first thing is, Jesus brought them to a place or situation where there were others who were in need. Intentional serving. Okay? Intentional serving. Jesus brought them to a place where definitely he knew there would be some need. And he trained them. Is someone calling you? Is God calling you to serve in the church or community where there is a need? You may think about, whenever we talk about serving, you all may think about street kids ministry. No, that is just one of our ministry. Not all. God has birthed different ministries in this community so that each one can fit wherever they want. Where is God calling you this morning? Are you being in a place where there is need? Are you intensely longing to be in a place where there is need? Take a decision. And you are here because God made you to be here this morning. Take a decision and we will see God's work in our lives. Close our eyes. Bow down in surrender. Is God calling you for something? Inside and outside. To be there in places of need. Take a decision. Because you have been called as God's workmanship. Always remember, God uses people in our lives to sharpen us. Jesus may have easily done this alone or by his own. Jesus intentionally showed the needs of others. And he also showed them how to serve others. Okay. Yes. Coming back. The second thing which God's pointing us this morning is, Jesus gave them real teaching. Jesus taught them not only practice, you know, hands-on experience, but he also taught them as well. You know, when we read this, there's a verse which talks about that, this parable which you all know, the Sermon on Mount. He calls all his disciples. The Bible says, now when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach. Disciples came to him and he started teaching them. So Jesus' disciples came and sat down. A willingness to learn. And as a church, we have created so many opportunities for each one of us to learn. Friday, we are learning from the book of 1 Thessalonians. The women's ministry have completed the book of Matthew. The men ministry has started a book of Mark. The girls and boys ministry are doing some series. The children are learning something on the aspect of Jesus. Different stories. These opportunities are created by God for us. The disciples saw this opportunity that Jesus is going on the mountainside. They went behind him, sat down, and Jesus started his teaching. Are you willing to take it? The opportunities created by God for you and me. I understand. We all are working professionals. Even I work. Everyone works. But we have been called as God's workmanship. What about that? God's desire for us this morning. This is the bottom line for us. I'll come to that again and again. He wants us to grow up from feeding milk to start eating meat. This is the bottom line for this evening or for us, which God's putting that. God wants us to grow in the area which we talked about, self-centered to outward focus, motivated by God, and leading and serving. So God wants us to grow. Come to the next level. Tell your neighbor, God wants me to grow. And we close our eyes, bow down in surrender, and reflect back. Where is it God asking you to learn, grow? Self-discipline, maybe it is a quiet time, whether it is prayer, whether it is reading, whether it is reading, whether it is so. God wants us to grow up, rise up, raise your bar, enough of milk, long for meat. Yes. Yes. We'll be back again. And the third thing Jesus did was he connected them to God and to each other. So Jesus did not talk about, okay, you serve this, you do this. He had this. Why are we doing this? It is not that because they are hungry, they are needy, they are poor. Not that, they are following us. Jesus said, there's a great